Hello, hello, dear business and dreamer. You're in for a treat because
Yes.
there's another episode out, and we have named this From Zero to Followers to Microinfluencers.
Yay! Yes, we actually got a suggestion on DM to talk about this topic because there was one woman in our community, and she talked about that she maybe wanted to, you know, have a career as a micro-influencer, and she wondered a bit on how to earn money, etc. So we thought we could do a podcast episode about it.
Let's just dig into it. So our journey started in 2017 on the 15th of June.
Such a storytelling look.
And we made a decision to post our first Instagram post on an account that we have named Business and Dreams.
Yeah, and I think there was like 10 companies contacting us directly and asked if we wanted to do a collab. No, that
we were just nice. Overflowing.
Overflowing. No, I wonder how many likes or like attention we got to that post. Not much, I think. Yeah. So yeah, but that was like the start. Yes,
that was the start. And I don't think we put so much time. We didn't have any plan. We didn't have any strategy. We just know kind of the topic we wanted to post about, and let's just do it. That was the mindset.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset I want every woman to have, that just try it out, you know, and see what happens.
Like, you nice can think logo. Of it.
Yeah. I always remember Adeline Stanner, the CEO of Kaya Cosmetics, told me once, or like us, that you can think about it as a school project when you start something. And then it feels less scary instead of like, now it's the first step to me becoming this or doing this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that if we would give our tips to someone who wants to become a micro-influencer, Wendla, what would the first tip or advice be, you would say?
I think that having a clear niche and the target group is really good, because I think if you have a super clear niche, then you will have people who are very interested in that topic, in that area, and then you can probably charge more from the companies, because these your followers will be like more likely to buy what you are recommending if it's within that niche. So I think that is a good start to think about.
Yeah, for sure. So so to do like I mean, I think you probably heard this advice before. It's kind of basic advice.
No? Yeah. Sorry. <that. laughs> Okay. Sorry, you can do the podcast alone.
No, but I feel that. But well. I think it's great, because especially for Instagram, there's so many already that's just lifestyle, very broad. So you have a bigger chance of standing out if you have something more narrowed down to a specific thing. And I would say my tip, if I could give the question to myself as well.
Sorry. I didn't understand. No, I will ask you.
What are your thoughts? But one thing I really wanted to share with you is the people here that actually want to monetize on what you have. And I wonder when we started monetizing on it. I think maybe, I mean, you can monetize definitely from probably 8,000 followers and up. Or what do you think, Vendla? When can you start?
Yeah. I think it's like less.
Yeah,
I've seen accounts with like 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah,
or something. 4,000.
Yeah. And there are these platforms. I know there's one, for instance, Society Icon. There's something you can sign up and you get like offers from brand collaborations. And they have, you know, this is what you're going to post, this is what you're going to get paid. But we have mainly worked like one on one with the companies we do partnership and collaborations with. And our biggest advice that I think not everyone is doing is to kind of do like promote a package to them. So we have done like a PowerPoint presentation about ourselves, which I also recommend to do as a micro influencer, where you know, tell a little bit about yourself and your statistics on your account. And then a proposal of how a package could look like. So instead of just doing one post, that you could do a longer collaboration with maybe a combination of stories and posts, and if you have other channels as well, that it becomes better for you, because it's more trustworthy also to work with the brand for a longer time, and it's better for them as well, I think, instead of just doing one thing and having to find lots of different influencers to work with. So that would be a big recommendation to you if you want to monetize and try. And also, don't be afraid to reach out to companies, because of course there might be companies that reaching out to you, but you will have a much higher success rate if you dare to reach out to companies that you already love, because then it's perfect, because you want to promote them anyways, you know. So definitely, yeah, just slide in the DMs or send an email.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most trustworthy collaborations, because some people can feel like when an influencer do a collaboration that is kind of paid, and they don't know if that influencer really likes the product or service or not. But I feel like, as you said, if you are like, if you have used this product or service for a long time before you actually start a collaboration, like, it couldn't be any better than that, because then you clearly like the product or service, but now you're just getting, you know, paid for it, that you are like highlighting it to your community. So I think that is amazing to think about what are you already using and, you know, approaching these companies.
Yeah, and I think in general, when you contact people, to try to keep it very short, and like, you don't have to think like, oh, now I need to write this super long email. You can just say, like, hey, what up? But you can just say like, hey, my name is this. I have this account. I love your products. Would it be interesting to just, like, I have this many followers, etc. A little bit fact. And then would it be interesting to discuss a collaboration over a 30-minute phone call or something like that? So you don't have to make it too complicated. And I think that's in general when you contact people. It could be journalists or collaboration partner in general. Like, no one even wants a long email. So it's not it's not better just because it's long. It's more overwhelming. So I prefer always to do pretty short emails, actually. And then if the person is interested, they can be like, oh, sounds interesting, can you send me some more information?
Yeah,
so I totally agree. Much better.
It can feel kind of like spam when you get a really long email. It feels kind of salesy. So I think it's really good to like keep it more personal, as you said, short and personal. I love that.
Yeah.
And exactly. And also, do you have any like insights or advice about the content creation part? Do you have any thoughts about that? Something we have learned, or, you know, how to get good traction on your posts, good reach, etc. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think to look at accounts with a similar target audience and see what type of post that works, that is performing the best, and then try those on yours. And then when you have some history, you can also look at your own account and see what is performing the best and do more of those type of posts. And then it can also be good to have different channels. So if you want Instagram to be your main channel, maybe have one more that they have more of a chance to get to know you deeper, because Instagram is a bit more shallow and it might be hard to really come through and for the followers to really get to know you. But if you have a podcast or a YouTube channel, or you do a lot of, I don't know, Insta stories, there you can actually really connect with them. But so they really get to know you, because then I think when I see accounts that have amazing engagement, they usually have some way followers have really gotten to know, get to know them.
That's very true. And like an example of a collaboration I thought was so good recently, it was Johanna Nordström, the comedian. And it was so funny and like so good, because she was doing a collaboration for, I think it was like See More or Viaplay, like some form of, I should remember this, that maybe it wasn't that's good enough to, but it was the channel I think it was Seymour. Sorry for this, Joanna. But yeah, it was the channel who has the big movies anyway. And yeah. It got so many, much like likes and comments. So what she did is that she did like kind of a sketch where she was like reporting about new big movie. And Johanna was the one presenting the news. And then she was also a reporter. And it was just like so funny. So it could be like one of her regular posts. But then it was a collaboration.
So oh my god, that, I have to watch this.
Yeah, it was really funny. And I think that Seymour gets a lot of like great, like a lot of goodwill and like spillover on Seymour as like a fun brand as well. So I think that like as a general rule to keep your like collaboration kind of in line with what you usually do. And I can feel that on podcasts sometimes when like the podcast, the person having the podcast, he or she speaks in a way. And then it's like such a clear distinction when the advertisement starts. And I think that I think it should be like more in a flow, think that is good to think about, that it feels natural for you as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can also kind of, when you do collaborations, you can also do things for the company that they can use in their channels. So whether it is maybe you write like a guest blog post or, you know, something they can use as well. And that could also be part of the collaboration, that is not only things on your channel. Just a little tip as well.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Okay, do we have any final advice? Maybe, you know, some micro influencers that you think are really great at what you do. Do you have any examples?
Ooh, there's so many, I think. I really like, I mean, we both really like Angelica's Closet.
Yeah.
Angelica Orell, she's also a member. And we've been like following her page because we love her fashion style. And she also have a website, like a website and a blog where she links a lot of the products, which I love. I love when micro influencers are very generous with linking whatever you like. And then you can also earn money from ad links. So I think she is amazing. What do you have a micro influencer you want to highlight?
I think that we just discovered this girl on the TikTok.
Yes! Yeah. We have to recommend her. She's the best.
She's the best. I feel like she's like my friend.
No, oh my god, we are obsessed. I think we should, we need to reach out to her.
We need, if she's listening, no, she would be listening to this, but like, I love her. But anyway,
we need to send her this podcast episode.
Oh my god, yeah, and we're not paid by her, by the way. It's not collaboration, but yeah, so she's called Hermelin, I think, on TikTok, like 2R, Hermelin, and she just has the funniest sketches of all time.
She's the funniest ever. She's gonna be the next Johanna Nordström, the next big female comedian.
Yeah,
I mean, I can just see she has such a bright future ahead of her.
Yeah, and I actually saw like the first collaboration she had now. I think it was with McDonald's actually. So I think it's so much fun that, I mean, I hope that she will like do this full time because she's so good, so funny. So yeah, I think she's amazing.
She's the funniest ever. She's the funniest right now on social media. I'm obsessed. I have scrolled through all her videos. I'm ashamed to say this until the last one because I can't get enough. Same. And I mean, and I need to rewatch some of them. So we would love if you watch these and tell us which one you think are the funniest to us. You have to send us the funniest one to us.
Yeah.
But they're so like recognizable. You can really relate to these like ordinary situations, but they're just so funny.
Yeah. It's like observational, relatable humor. I think that is so much fun. So I love
totally it. Our humor. So if you want to know what kind of humor we have, just watch our page. But I have to ask you something, Wendla, because I know the person that asked us about this, she wanted to know a little bit more behind the scene, how it is to be a micro influencer, if it's like glamorous or if it's not as glamorous that you might think. What would you say, are is it like it seems like, or is there some things people don't see, some secrets?
I believe it's amazing, actually. Like, I think it's so much fun. And I love to highlight brands that I love. And it's just amazing to get compensated for it as well, and to share like advice that, I mean, our community will appreciate. So I think it's, like, I can imagine there being a lot of backsides, like a lot of negative sides if you're like a big influencer, because then you also receive, you have like a lot of weird people also in your feed, a lot of people having opinions about, you know, there will always be weird and
like hate
and haters. Like
haters. Exactly.
But I mean, our community is the kindest, first of all. And when you're like a micro influencer, you have a more like selective pool of people following you. So you don't have all these random people having opinions about your life. So I feel like having being a micro influencer is, I feel that is amazing, actually. So I really recommend everyone to, I mean, if you're interested in that, if you have an area which you're passionate about, I think that is a great way to go. What do you think?
Yeah, I think my favorite parts that are just like fun, it feels more like hobby, is like, for instance, going to fun events that brands create, and then you post a little bit about it, et cetera, in return. And I love going to those kind of events. I think they're very fun. And then also to be able to try and get different products. It feels like gifts, you know, that you also post about. But I really love that part as well. There are more boring parts as well, but I guess I think they're worth it totally. But I think mainly the planning stage before you start a collaboration, that you have to email back and forth and negotiate what's going to be done, etc., in meetings. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes you're not very patient. You just want to, you know, start taking actions. So the planning stage, I think, is the one I like the least, but I still think it's worth it.
Yeah, that is that's a great point. Yeah.
What do you like the least?
I agree with that one. Like the planning stage, and maybe also I was gonna say reaching out to companies, but that is not like a boring part really. Like, I mean, planning is
for me either. I don't like that, like, very. I don't think it's like a fun thing to do, but you like it more.
I'm like the one who like loves to reach out. We always us talk about that when we're like planning the gala. I'm like excited for some weird reason to get like, what's it called, prize suggestion from that.
But I think you had that since you were a child, that you were like reaching out to companies.
Yeah, so weird. Yeah, I have like the weirdest stories actually from when I was a child and I reached out. Can I do a sidetrack?
Yes, do it.
Okay, this is really weird. So if you don't like weird stuff, shut this podcast up. No, but I had like very strong opinions even as a child about some areas which I'm passionate about. So one is that I became like a vegetarian. I was very passionate about animal welfare very early on. So this is really weird. But what I did is that I emailed like Scon, which is like like a meat company, and I said to them like, you know, like weird stuff like, hey, I just want to ask if you think it's okay that pigs get so less you know, area to walk in, isn't that, you know, that is not good for the animal. I sent emails like that. I don't know why, what would they say, like, oh, that's true, we'll shut down our company. Like, but I did stuff like that just because I was like, you know, frustrated. So it started very early on, you're right.
I love very that true. And still continues to this day.
Still continues. Yeah,
but I guess that's like the main thing you do is you are talking to people, companies, and then you plan, and then you create content, and then also like following up and doing like following up reports. Maybe that's not the fun part either, I guess, to do all the admin after, but the fun part I think is it's more creating the I don't know what the fun part is. I think the events and trying products I think are my favorite parts, and then it can be fun to do content as well. And that's basically what you're doing, and then in the meantime between the collaborations to try to make as good content as you can and provide as much value as you can and engage and connect with your followers.
Great advice. So I think we will end on top with your advice there. I think that was amazing.
Was that even an advice?
You said a lot of great things there. Take some credit, girl. I thought that was okay. Great. No, but I think we have shared.
Overall, go for it if you're thinking about it. It's a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, I agree.
I have one last thing. Yeah. Because it's a great stepping stone if you want to do something more out of it. There's so many opportunities out of that foundation that you build up. Like we did. Yeah.
Like what?
So you can, like we started a members club out of it.
Yeah.
But you can start any kind of like brand or anything around it if you want to in the future as well.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And it's a great way to finance your company in the beginning stages, especially as well. Yeah. Exactly. And also,
or you can just have it as a side hustle. Like if you work 9 to 5, you can have it as like a side income as well. With that said, we're going to end this episode and we can't wait to be with you, I want to say, but to have you here next time.
Yes, can't wait. Okay, all right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Ciao.
Bye.